It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
And that's why the Pope wears a big hat.
I always wondered about that.
So if God needed to figure out which was the Pope, like, real fast. Don't worry, people, if you go to the show notes, we'll have the two videos that we watch in between. Like we always do when we have a two-parter.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast that all it wants for Christmas is your front teeth. That would be a good version of this. All I want for Christmas is two front teeth. Like, that would be nice. Sure. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 302. I guess this is our Christmas episode.
Yeah, even though it's a few days before, but yeah. It is the closest without going over.
Yeah.
So by Price is Right rules, this is our Christmas episode.
Yes.
Price is Right rules comes up a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. There was something I needed to talk about.
I was supposed to remind you.
Yes.
All right.
Do you remember what it was?
Nope.
Wow, that's sad.
Go ahead.
It was supposed to be about the McDonald's cup.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I remember now because you just reminded me.
Yes. So.
A needle pulling thread.
La. No. So, McDonald's.
Cup.
Cup. They have a cup. They have a holiday.
They have cup. A holiday cup.
Yes.
You mean like
Starbucks?
Starbucks has
kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
But it's holiday, you know. So it's that kind of thing. Holiday cup.
Cup for the holy
is red,
day.
Like Starbucks is now, in fact. And it has two mittens on it.
Mittens.
Where the middle finger would be in the mitten, them sort of touching at like 45 degree angles and the thumb sticking out.
All right.
So it's like cute like that.
Cute.
And someone discovered that quite easily by taking where the thumbs are in the mittens and drawing fingers on the inside so they look like bent arms, it quickly appears to be somebody facing away from you bent over and spreading their butt cheeks.
Alright, I'm having a really hard time picturing that. That's probably a good thing.
Yeah, but it's remarkably accurate for very little draw. Like, you just add in the little fingers, and it totally changes the image.
Oh, okay. I'll take your word for it.
It's freakish.
I'll take your word for it.
So this is making the rounds because we're all 12-year-old boys at heart. Found this out a few days ago.
Because 12-year-old girls don't think that kind of thing is funny?
No. 12-year-old girls are all about the urethras, not the anuses.
Okay.
Did you not know this? You raised children. How did this not come up?
It didn't. But that's all right. Go on. Just continue.
So, yeah, learned about this a few days ago. Saw it. Was like, huh, yeah, that is weird. McDonald's is probably going to hate that. Okay, whatever. Moved along. It's not that funny. It's funny. It's like, huh, what a coincidence. But then, you know, whatever. But then today, I believe, this morning, I don't remember, sometime in the last day or two, I was on Snopes for something, I don't remember what now.
Okay.
I believe it was one of those sad ones where Snopes didn't tell me because Snopes just hadn't even heard of it. And I'm like, crap, now I'll never know. But in the process, I was like, let's see what's new. And what's new had that on it. And I was like, but is that fake, really? And I was like, or is it just people, like, how is this on Snopes? This seems pretty straightforward, unless McDonald's isn't doing the mitten thing. And I mean, they look like normal mittens. They look totally believable looking cup. But so I look at it, and it says it's false. And I'm like, so it was a fake cup. And they look at, and McDonald's statement stuff says, no, we drew these mittens. And and I'm like, okay, so what's false about it? And I finally figured out the part that I guess somebody thought was true. They thought that McDonald's just did the spreading butt cheeks thing on their cups. Mm-hmm. Like, they thought that the fingers were part of it. Like, apparently the internet believed it. Which is incredibly weird for a couple of reasons. One, McDonald's did not put spreading butt cheeks on their cup.
Oh, well, apparently they did. That's the thing.
No. They put something that can be. No, they put something that can be altered.
Okay.
But that's the thing. But that's what I'm saying. That is the thing. Saying, oh no, they just put a picture of somebody spreading their asshole. No. Of course not. That's dumb. And second, the picture, because it is a specific one that you see everywhere, the fingers are drawn with clearly hand-drawn blue ballpoint. Like, quite clearly.
Mm. So, poor cup design is what you're saying.
Yeah, but no, I'm saying people are stupid as fuck.
I guess.
Is what I'm saying. Because that's the thing. It's, yes, that's an unfortunate cup design, whatever. The story's not interesting. What's interesting is apparently enough people believed that McDonald's spit them out that way that it had to go on Snopes.
Well,
and I'm like,
and McDonald's had to issue a statement,
right?
Saying, "Oh gosh, people think that this is what our design looks like."
Why, I say this to a nation that's elected Donald Trump president. Come on, you're not this dumb, are you?
Merry Christmas.
Also, happen to see on there the thing where they say Donald Trump believes the Earth is flat. Not true.
He doesn't believe it's flat.
Well,
he knows it's flat.
Well,
I don't know. I never heard him say that.
I don't
that.
Know that he's given any opinion on it.
Okay.
But what was going around was a very specific thing that he supposedly had this quote. And to be fair, they really work at making it sound Trumpish. Talking about how he flies on planes all the time. Nobody flies more than him. And all this. and that. But no, he didn't say it. Which, honestly, at this point, I wouldn't believe that anyway. The only people who are famous and who believe the Earth is flat are 16-year-olds, famous ones, I don't know who, and people who are doing it for attention. Like, come on. So, alright. Christmas. Christmas time.
By some Christmas miracle, I actually know pretty what I might be doing. You know how I usually don't know what I'm going to do until like 2 days before?
Yeah, it's like when firefighters get the alarm.
Mm-hmm. I think, now, people are hearing this just a few days before, but it's, you know, I'm talking about it 2 weeks before this, or whatever, a week before, and I think I know I'm just, well,
it's the 15th.
Although I don't know whose house I'm going to be at, but I know that I will be going on the 25th, it'll be Christmas Day, I'll be going over there. Where exactly, that I don't know yet, but I'll probably...
That's not that interesting.
I'll probably know before the end of the night. Well, usually I don't know anything. I don't know. Because, remember, my dad just got married, and one of my brothers just got remarried, so this is the first holiday season we're going through, and it's like, well, like, does her family, like, they always do something on New Year's Eve, so New Year's Day will be open. You know, I don't know that stuff.
True. But... is there ever a year when you don't go over to the Des Moines area for Christmas? To somebody's house?
So far, no. That's
but that's all the information you have this time.
Yeah. Well, except...
I'm sure there's peace of mind for you to actually know.
Yeah, except this year there was...
The rest of us who
there was
placing
at least,
bets would have still figured.
Except this year there was at least two possibilities where it could have been like, well, no, the family always does something on Christmas Day, so can we do something on Christmas Eve this year? Which we don't usually do. And then we would do that. Or, well, can we do something like the weekend following or the weekend before? Stuff like that. So, I don't know. But actually, her family Dad's, all sneaking. Dad's new wife, they're having their Christmas the weekend before for some reason that I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be true every year like that or what. But
so, like, this weekend, we're sneaking up on right here.
Yeah.
Or for the listeners, the weekend that has passed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it looks like Christmas Day will be available for everybody. Well, that'll be nice. And we'll just go there Christmas Day, probably to the farm. That's probably, I'm sorry, Dad's house, because she lives on a farm, too. Dad's house. Yes. And I just imagine that's the most, I mean, likely place. Except the only problem with going to Dad's is, you know, he lives on a gravel road, so depending on what the weather's going to be like,
yeah,
it might not be easy to get there or whatever. So
where are they going for this coming weekend? Because the weather's really supposed to be shit.
Yeah, that's true. Well, the farm she grew up on, she only had one kid, and the farm she grew up on is where he lives. And it's not that far away. I don't think it's in Marion County. Or maybe it is. She's just like on the border there.
The world may never know.
She's in Jasper County, just north of there. But, well, I don't know. But it's not far away from where they live.
Oh, see, Jasper County. So they can go to the Chinese buffet in Newton.
Yeah, they could, I guess. Have you been there?
Oh, yeah. When I was in college, there were two places you ever went. You drove all the way to Iowa City to go to Masala, or occasionally go to Giovanni's, but I never did. Or you drove just over to Newton, which is only like 20 miles away.
Yeah, yeah, not very
for
far.
For Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
Or in later years for the Chinese restaurant in the Ramada that had sizzling rice soup.
Iowa City, that'd be about an hour drive at least.
It was a trip. You never went to Des Moines, really, which I don't understand, because there's tons of stuff in Des Moines, and it was closer.
And after Newton, it's not very far after that, 20 miles maybe.
Yeah.
Didn't go to Des Moines that much, huh?
No. I mean, I flew out of there most of the time.
Oh, yeah.
Never
went to the Iowa State Fair, though.
I never went to the Iowa State Fair.
Oh, man. You missed out.
I like how you say that, like it doesn't exist anymore.
Well, you're so much further away, and also you sometimes, you know, like game conventions that are nearby you won't go to because it's too much effort, so
yes.
Why would you go to the Iowa State Fair?
Do you think I was less lazy when I was in college? I didn't have a car then.
Not less lazy, maybe more interested in doing so. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I was busy doing lots of drugs and having lots of sex. I was not going to no state fairs.
Iowa's birthday is...
Nowadays I'm way more likely to go.
The 28th.
Nothing going.
Iowa is going to be 170 years old on the 28th. I guess I could just talk about that next week because Iowa's birthday will just be the day before. But
you know what I found out this week? Last week for you guys? Wyoming, upon becoming a state, refused to become a state unless women could vote.
I think I did know that, but recently
Adam Conover did a thing about the Wild West and how the Wild West was pretty much formed because of women, mostly prostitutes.
Hmm.
And so they made lots of money and they built towns, basically.
Yeah.
And so in Wyoming, they were major members of the community, so they could vote. And so then Wyoming said, we're not becoming part of the union. In fact, there's a quote involving, it may take us 100 more years to become part of the union, but we'll bring our women with us. Hmm. And so they said, okay.
No, actually, I don't think I did know that. Hmm? That's interesting.
I'm telling you, that show is amazing. Adam Ruins Everything. It's getting a second season. It's a very good show. And my favorite thing about it is everything he says has the source up in the upper right corner. Literally has the bibliographic source. Actually, that's a lie. My favorite thing is a lot of comedians I know on it. In fact, comedian Rhea Butcher, Cameron Esposito's wife, plays Adam's sister recurringly in the thing. He's her older sister. And at first it was just like a joke because she came to pick him up at the end of some episode. But like, they recently had one about the justice system in which he invades basically a trial that's going on in which she's the public defender. And in fact, the last segment of it is her taking over and explaining things to him for a change.
Mm.
And I love Rhea Butcher, so. For those of you just joining us, this is part two, so go back and listen to part one and we'll explain what the show is there. So.
Yeah. Just listen to part one. You're going to be on the road. That's why we're recording.
We'll be on the road. We're just going to the in-laws and
over in
Chillicothe, Illinois. Yes, and it is not a whole family Christmas. The ones who live in South Carolina will not be here this year. They do every other year. Won't be this year. But a few weeks after that, we'll be seeing them at Disney World.
Oh, yeah.
Which they were just at a couple weeks ago for the wife's birthday.
Oh.
Like, I saw pictures of it and stuff, and I'm like, they're going back in like 6 or 7 weeks. But apparently they just like it that
way. They got some big time Star Wars stuff going on down there now.
Yeah.
That might be interesting.
We'll have to see.
Yeah, we're just probably just going to go to the farm on the 25th, and that's it. We'll be done. I don't think we'll be doing anything really for New Year's or anything like that. It'll just be one and done.
New Year's will be my usual watching terrible movies, drinking too much, playing games.
We'll be getting together before then. The 29th, I believe. The last time for 2016.
Thank goodness. Not the last, but that it's over. Oh. I know everybody's like, oh no, everybody always says that about yours. I'm like, no. 2016 was fucked up. Speaking of which, Alan Thicke died.
What?
And I am surprisingly broken up.
Alan Thicke passed away? I did not know that.
It was extremely sudden. He was only 69, which is the magic age this year. Was playing hockey with his son and had a heart attack.
No way.
Yep. And it bugs me more than it should because I saw him in person once. He seemed kind of like a jerk. Things I have heard make it sound like he's not the greatest guy in real life, kind of like William Shatner. And I've never thought he was a particularly impressive actor. But it still bothered me, and I still like really had. And I finally realized he was a major father figure for me.
Really?
Him, Michael Gross. Yeah, because I was watching those shows every week. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, I didn't have an absentee father, but I watched so much Growing Pains, and I watched so much Family Ties, and they were imparting all sorts of parental life lessons, and it may not have been conscious, but I internalized so much of that.
Mm.
I mean, it sounds like I'm dissing my parents, and it's not, because it's not like they weren't around. They totally were around. But I have a pretty decent chunk of raised by TV. I mean, my whole generation.
Well, right, but that's, I mean, I don't think that says anything about, I mean, it would be the same as if you had your parents, and then they had brothers and sisters, so you had aunt and uncles around, and they were imparting wisdom to you. That wouldn't take anything away from your parents.
No, yeah.
So you had TV uncles that you looked up
exactly,
to.
Exactly.
I can relate to that. I probably did, too.
And I don't think it's damn impressive. Like, I don't, I said all those not-so-great things, but I knew a lot of this. I didn't know. AV Club did a really good obit on him. He was a really big deal before Growing Pains. Before Growing Pains, he had already gone through two different talk shows that he hosted.
Yeah, Thick of the Night.
Thick of the Night was the one in the U.S. that apparently sucked, and even he admits
it sucked. Yeah, it tanked.
But before then, he had one in Canada that was quite popular for many years.
That I didn't know.
He also, famous songwriter, wrote the theme to Different Strokes, wrote the theme to Facts of Life. There's another major show that he did, wrote a lot of music. Tons of stuff. Yeah. And he's always, in his later years, he absolutely could take a joke about himself. Like he was on a lot of shows where he looked silly. But and did a great job with it. Yeah, I mean, it vaguely sort of Leslie Nielsen-esque near the end. He would get very. I watched an episode of Tim and Eric Awesome Show, which is a show that I fucking hate. But he was on that selling a product called D-Pants, which were pants that you could have diarrhea in and it would be fine, and it was terrible. But he was Alan Thicke in it, like very serious, and I don't like. I get that as we get older, the celebrities we knew are gonna die.
Yeah.
Like that, people are gonna die, you know. But I don't like that they're starting to die at ages that I can see from here.
Yeah.
Because like in the past, like you know, somebody, oh, died in 98. Well, let's go. Died at 69. I'm not that far from. I mean, it's not tomorrow, but it's close by.
Yep.
And meanwhile, my dad is 82. I'm like, so he should just be dead already. Like, statistically speaking, it's kind of ridiculous that he's alive. That's terrible.
Yeah, that is
although
terrible.
Although not for him. I asked him when he turned 80. I was a little worried. He's like, no, it's fine. And I said, okay, so I said, you're 80. We don't know how long you'll live. But you're close. You're a lot closer than any of the rest of us or, you know, than you've been at any other point. You're 80, after this point, we start calling it borrowed time. He's like, yeah. I'm like, so does that freak you out? And he said no. He knows it'll happen. He's fine with it. And I mean, and don't get me wrong, he's not one of those who's looking forward. Like, he likes his life. But he's just not freaking out. I'm like, oh, I want to be like that.
Well, you probably will be.
Now or now, though. I'm old enough I can now see my mortality, and I'm young enough that sucks. So, yeah. Yeah, not a lot of Christmassy stuff this year. It's hard, honestly. The year has sucked really bad. I don't feel very Christmassy about it.
Well, I'm glad there's snow. I'm glad.
See, I'm actually not even super happy about that.
Yeah, I'm glad there's snow.
Ever since my surgery, I just don't respond to cold the same way.
Looks like there'll be a white Christmas, which I'm excited about. We had a good fall. We had a good, you know, Halloween, and Thanksgiving was great. So, I mean, for us, the holidays have been as good as ever. Don't get me wrong,
I had a great Thanksgiving, and I'm sure I'll have a fun time. I haven't seen my in-laws in a while, so this will be really good.
But the news is almost always depressing. I mean, of course, it's been like that for years, but to a degree that it's sort of unprecedented. So, yeah, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, that's all I got. You should probably dress up.
Okay. Maybe that's a good idea. We're just going to be morbid. I don't think our listeners would like that very much. Though, who's to say?
Fine, listeners. We'll just kill ourselves. Oh, wait.
Who's to say?
Them. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us how you'd feel if... We should have said last week. There is somebody who has listened to all 300 and some episodes. Well, all 300 at least.
Mm-hmm.
It's Azure Teller.
It's Azure Teller.
Pisses me off. But we got to do something cool for him. I don't know. But you're definitely our number one fan, Azure Teller, and that's the saddest thing I've ever had to say.
And this question is from him.
Holy shit! I did not know that, for the record.
Or someone whose code name is Azure Talon, because that's what it's signed. Oh. Code name, Azure Talon. I'm pretty sure that's him, though.
No, Steve Buscemi's code name is Azure Talon.
This is a coded missive to the level 33 Hattinati. That's not...
God damn it.
This must be to you, because I'm not level 33. But I think I can still read it to you.
Oh, man.
President-elect Trump has begun to take steps to ban pre-shredded cheese in an effort to make American great again. G-R-A-T-E, great. Please advise.
My advice to you is eat a dick. Jesus Christ, that was a terrible joke. still hate you. In fact, a couple more of these, I'm going to give you your cancer back.
No, you won't.
I don't know if I will or not. I don't know how I did it the first time. But I'm just saying, that's a terrible joke and you should feel bad as a person.
He probably does.
For the next week, you're not allowed to look in your daughter in the eyes. You can hang out with her, but don't look her in the eyes because you are too ashamed. I'm just saying right now. Also, nobody messes with my cheese. Dave of Id.
Oh, wow.
We've now done, but with last episode, we've done 3 questions in a row that weren't coffee.
Hmm.
You okay? You out there? No, I'm kidding. I talked to her today. Dave of Id. If the hat were a food or drink, what would it be and why? Clearly, someone was high when they were writing the hat.
If the hat were a food or drink, what would it be?
And why? A food or drink, because you told us. No, that's a terrible answer. It would be a hat made out of beef jerky or something, or what? Why are you doing the death rattle noise?
I don't know. Never
make that sound again unless you're actually dying. That was some creepy shit there.
I was dying for a second.
That was like when you open the tomb in the Underworld movie and like yeah.
No, okay. Let's see. If the hat were food or drink.
Go far enough from the mic, I'm not sure they heard it. It was terrifying.
It would be
poison.
Fondue. It would be fondue.
Cheese or oil or chocolate?
You just wouldn't know until you pulled out whatever it was. The listeners would decide.
We, its servants, shove our hand into some sort of boiling liquid and draw food out at random, eat them on the air. Do that for about an hour, then go to the hospital to treat our burns.
Yeah, the listener decides.
So much better podcast.
Yep. Than this. Fondue.
Just every time I'm like, I think this one is oil.
The magical boiling
pot. Well, we know what this episode title is. A magical boiling pot.
Which could be a, yeah, okay, that's my answer.
Stregonona teaches you the words to make it make pasta. Remember Stregonona?
No.
It was a childhood book about somebody's grandmother who was a witch, because that'd be what Stregonona means, is witch grandma in Italian. And she had a pasta pot. And it was magic, because it would make pasta out of nothing. And I don't remember all the intricacies, but there were magic words to make it happen. And the grandchild or whoever did it when Stregonona wasn't around, and so it wouldn't stop. And so like there was just nothing but pasta everywhere, until Stregonona came back from vacation or whatever, and then said the words to make it stop, and everything was better. It's a child's book.
Okay.
Plots are not heavy. And it's an old enough child's book you can get away from having a strega in it. Nowadays, I don't think that kind of shit would fly.
No.
In children's books.
Okay.
Witches? Yeah, witchcraft? No. People freak out about that now.
What, Harry Potter? One of the most popular
young adult? Yeah, but for little kids.
You can't have witches for little kids.
You can, but the liberals are going to buy them and somebody's going to protest them. Okay. I don't think anybody protested Stregonona.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Did you have another answer besides fondue?
I don't understand. No, I get the I don't know how to answer the question. If the hat were a food or drink, it would be a double chocolate stout with way too much head on it. 8.3 alcohol by volume, heavy notes of coffee and obviously chocolate, and pine nuts, and it would be sold locally in Solon.
You'd have to go to Solon to get it.
Well.
That's not too
brewed.
Far.
That's where it's brewed. They could probably get it around here, but it's definitely would be a regional.
Okay.
Like the podcast itself, it's a regional thing in that only people from whatever crazy place our seven listeners come from. I love you guys, but I question your judgment because you listen to this. I mean, I feel like we should have that under control there. We're batting 1,000 so far. Let's see if we can do 3 for 3 here.
I think the hat would be salmon.
Salmon fondue?
No, like salmon during Lent. Because you only have it once a week.
And I'm confused about that.
And you don't really look forward to it. Oh, we've got to have fish on Friday. Yuck.
I'm confused, actually, by a lot of that stuff. Lent is
confusing. I'm not sure why even
Catholicism is a confusion. Also, I fucking love salmon. So. Yes, and I actually I love too, when Lent happens because all the fast food places have fish sandwiches then.
Yeah.
Love them.
Yeah. But if you couldn't eat anything but fish, you might not be that excited about it.
That's true of anything.
Well, I mean, for a period of time. If for Lent, the only meat you were eating was fish, and maybe if you were only eating it once a week, I don't know if anyone does it like that, but you'd probably get tired of it pretty quickly, don't you think?
Yeah, in any situation where you only are eating one kind of thing, you would get sick of it, of course. Unless that is a double chocolate stout from Solon. With a big head on it. 8.3.
Anyway.
ABV.
What are you most grateful for? Coffee wants to know. What are you most grateful for? It always strikes me as odd. Questions like this that seem to suggest you ought to rank.
Prioritize your gratefulness?
Yeah.
Kind of grateful for you. I'm more grateful for him than
that. I find it difficult to do. I don't find that I'm more grateful for some things than others.
I am barely grateful for. I mean, technically, yes, but really, like, the only things I'm less grateful for are things that I'm not at all grateful. I'm just an iota grateful.
But, I mean, I suppose you're supposed to imagine a thing in your life. There are a lot of things you're grateful for, but if they never happened or if they went away, you might be sentimental about remembering them, but you wouldn't, like, collapse and you can't live without them. The things you're most grateful for are the things that you know, that are essential to your, you know, being, I suppose, either from the past or the present.
Grateful for bacon.
Like if I say I'm grateful for my wife.
I'm grateful for cheese.
I say that because she's a very important person in my life. Like
grateful for all the time I've
known her and for all the time I'm going to know her. But my wife's not the only person I can say that about.
Grateful for Five Guys burgers and fries. Grateful for No, that's it. I forgot my first two already.
I did too.
Porn and Five Guys. I remember. Oh, bacon and cheese. Yeah. Bacon, cheese, porn, Five Guys. That's it. No, this is one that's super easy. It's Trish. It's 100% Trish. Trish is the thing I love most in the world, other than myself. I always say it that way. It really takes the romance out of it, but I know I'm inherently too selfish. She's the most important thing. She's the thing I couldn't live without. She's the reason for most things I do. And I'm, yeah, absolutely eternally grateful that she's in my life. And I wouldn't have it any other way. And I don't intend to change that. That's why I came up with the other stuff, because that's a boring answer.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I was getting at. And I mentioned my wife also. It's like, that's the easy thing to say against the obvious thing, and it's the true thing. But I think people could probably guess that by knowing both of us that we would answer that. But, you know, but I was also pointing out that a lot of the things I could say about my wife that make her important to me, I could also say about other people, you know, my father, my siblings.
Yeah, see, and I'm very pointedly not. I love those people. I love you. I love a lot of people. She wins.
Well, if that's my point, though, is it's not really nobody's challenging her as
No. But she definitely wins.
Okay.
By the way,
because it's not really a competition.
A few weeks ago. Stop me if I mentioned this in a different episode, but I don't think I did. Was watching Michael Che's stand-up special. It's pretty good. I think I talked a little bit about it. Yeah, that was the one, remember I told you that white girls can get away with things. Remember, if you're drunk, they'll take your hat.
Okay.
We talked about it. Anyway, he brought up Black Lives Matter and All Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a joke that was funny, but I also think it is finally the real way, the easiest and most direct and best illustration I have found to explain why perfectly good-hearted people who refuse to say Black Lives Matter and don't like Black Lives Matter and say All Lives Matter are missing the point and are fucking wrong.
Yeah.
Because it pisses me off, but it's always really hard to explain in a way that they would get. And what he said is, that's like if your wife says to you, baby, you love me, right? And you say, of course, baby, I love everyone. I'm a really giving guy. I love all God's creatures. Not necessarily a lie.
No.
Answers the question in the affirmative. Misses the point. Is a terrible and horrible thing to say to that person. Like, I laughed my ass off at the time, but then I'm also like, this is useful.
Yeah.
This is a useful, kind of like the one trying to explain consent by offering someone a cup of tea. That one's out there. People are talking about rape. That one's amazing. It's hilarious. It's also really useful to explain things to people who don't get it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a thing. Dang, there's a lot of questions.
One more. Do it.
Oh, I'm holding the hat. All right.
Do it.
You're creepy tonight. I don't know.
Do so. It.
This one's anonymous. This one's anonymous. And maybe shouldn't be.
Okay. Why?
Because they're asking for direct response to them, basically.
Oh, to them.
Yeah, it seems. Would you be interested in a copy of the RPG I'm writing? It's about Cold War psychics trying to save the president's life. Signed, nobody.
Oh.
This is probably Agile Talon fucking with us, because we can't respond to him. Absolutely.
Sounds interesting to me.
Yeah. I'm not promising I'll run it or play it or anything, but it looks like a cool idea, and it could be fun. We potentially could play test it at Gamacon or something like that.
Yeah. Sounds awesome.
William here could give it to David, and he'll critique the shit out of it. But, of course, you'll have to get a hold of us now.
Yeah.
So, if you ever need to get a hold of us, go to the blog.
TheMagicalTalkingHat.com. Yes.
Or, if you write the hat, TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com, and specify very clearly in the subject line, this is not a question for the hat. The hat may see its way to getting that information to us.
It could.
But make sure you are very clear, or the hat could get confused, and your email that was just meant to go to us could end up being drawn out of the hat for an episode. And that'd be weird.
And that might not be what you want.
Yeah.
One more.
A lot of short questions tonight.
Yeah, brief ones.
And we're not that close to the end. We better talk a long time about whatever this one is. Or what these four are.
Stop it.
Put them back.
Okay, I did.
All right.
This also is anonymous.
Can I borrow $5?
Can I borrow $5? That's not what it says. In the U.S., we incarcerate people.
Does it say in the U.S. or does it just say in the U.S.?
In the U.S.
Okay, that might not be the U.S. then.
I'm pretty sure it is. We incarcerate people to punish them or rehabilitate them? Rehabilitate them?
in your prison system?
Do you find quite apart from whatever rhetoric people throw out there about this, I think it's very clear in how all of this is executed. Well, maybe I shouldn't have used that word. It's very clear on how these things are done. I think it's pretty clear from the public attitude about our legal system and so on that we incarcerate people to punish them. I think there are people who want to, who are interested in it rehabilitating these people so that when they get out, they're less likely to commit the crime again. But, I mean, I just think if you look at the whole thing, by and large, it so clearly is about punishment. It certainly in practice doesn't, I mean, there's some good studies to indicate that a lot of people who weren't criminals when they went into the system are criminals by the time they get out. And, you know, there's ostracizing people who have done time. You know, there's clearly a sense that if someone commits a crime, they should be punished. Going to jail is that punishment, and it's not even doesn't even end there. I mean, as soon as when they get out of jail, people can treat them badly too, because they deserve it because they went to jail. And what I find interesting about this too is that you can have a coworker, you go out for drinks, and they'll tell you a story about this thing they did that was totally illegal, and they'll be totally laughing about it. Everyone will have a great time talking about this person's adventure. Mm-hmm. But then
if somebody else went to jail for it,
if someone else did the exact same thing but they went to jail for it, they're treated completely differently.
Yep.
And it makes no sense. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense at all. Like society saying what they're really being punished for is being caught,
which I think is a thing.
But also, our culture, part of the whole punishment aspect of our justice system, so-called, since it's punishment that we kind of have in mind, and we're trying to catch people doing a bad thing and put them away so they don't do a bad thing again or harm other people or whatever, I think there's kind of the public psychological thing is kind of a, there's probably a lot of projection going on there, you know. People want to see someone get punished because then they think that there's justice in the world or some weird thing like that. And so what happens is the job of the police becomes, you know, on one hand you can think a police officer patrolling a particular area, well, he's doing that so that if there's a fire or a car accident or if there's some issue of public safety, he's more likely to be on the move, near it or whatever, he can get there. But instead, well, or in addition to that, you have this idea of the police officer looking to catch people doing bad things. Mm-hmm. And you even hear this in a lot of when police officers are talking about things that they should feel free to do and shouldn't have to think twice about doing. Well, when I see these young kids gathered in the parking lot, you know, I shouldn't have to think twice about going over there and asking them what they're doing and stop and frisk and whatever. Well, except when I hear someone talk about that, the thing I think of first is, no, I don't want police officers to be doing that. I don't want them to be in that frame of mind when they're driving around. What I want them to be thinking when they're driving around is, you know, if something bad happens, like a fire or something like that, I'll be ready. I don't want them to have the frame of mind is, the reason I'm driving around is so
to catch them.
I can catch someone doing some, or before they do it.
Mm. Well, and honestly, I don't think that's necessarily indicative of cops as a whole, and I should say, this country has a big problem right now with cops killing black dudes.
Well, but that's related because
yes,
when
but my point here is that is a problem systemically. I do not in any way mean to imply that most cops would do that. I think most cops are good. And to that end, it's surprising. You remember I used to watch a show called Campus PD?
Yeah.
Which was basically cops for college kids, and I mostly liked it because I liked seeing stupid college kids get their comeuppance. But watching a show like that, I didn't watch a lot of cops, so I don't know how similar, but a lot of it was not, in fact, most of it, was not serious, scary. There was not a lot of chases. There was not a lot of guns involved, stuff like that. A lot of it was disturbing the peace, you know, riding skateboards where you're not supposed to, the common ones are having beer or pot and you're not supposed to, and that kind of thing. And the cops, by and large, want to make sure the dangerous behavior stops and everybody is safe. Quite a bit, unless you are, like, really trying to be confrontational, they were just like, pour it out. or if you're like falling down drunk and you're not supposed to be, they'd be like, do you have a friend that can come and get you and take home, you right. home? And this kind of
well, thing. Well, and you know, full disclosure, of one of a good friend of mine, good friend of the family, is a chief of police in Clear Lake. And he's the kind of guy, if you knew him, or if you just sat down and talked to him at a party or something, you'd immediately think to yourself, like I often do when I talk to him, this is the kind of guy you want all the police officers to have the attitude this guy has. And I've known other police officers like that, too.
Did you say we're not proud of our criminals?
No, I'm not.
That was a joke just for us.
I don't even really know. I've never met or known, and I've known several police officers that I thought had a bad attitude about poor people or people of color or whatever. But what I was getting at before was when the police are encouraged in their training and their culture to be on the lookout for bad things in their patrols, and they're being told, you know, to stop and frisk or to be suspicious of a group of people hanging around, you're setting up a situation where, for a variety of reasons that I hope our listeners can figure out with just a little thought, you're setting up a situation where people who are poor are going to be stopped by police and talked to by police more often than people who aren't.
It's generalizing and stereotyping.
That's right. And
unfortunately, statistically speaking, well, based on arrests, you know, it becomes very chicken and egg.
Well, right, but
more poor people commit these crimes or get caught committing these crimes because we're looking more for poor people.
Well, exactly.
Because more people are committing
crimes. That's exactly right. And not only that, poor people are going to be stopped more often, but they're going to be least able to defend themselves. They're going to be most likely to have to plead out. And in our country, because of systematic racism, people of color are disproportionately represented among poor people.
Yeah. Well, but, and weirdly, this was also Michael Che, but he probably didn't write it because it was on SNL. But he said, if you frisk every black guy that you see in New York, you're going to find a lot of drugs. If you frisk every white guy you find in New York, you're going to find probably just as many drugs. They're just going to be better drugs.
Well, probably on average, yes. Because, and see, that's the thing. Especially when it comes to drugs, and that's a big problem, is how we deal with drugs and the war on drugs. That's another whole other issue, but it's related, is a lot of times what they're suspicious with those kids hanging out in the parking lot, what they think they are, and the reason they stop and frisk them is because they're looking for drugs. Mm-hmm. But a wealthier person is not going to go to a parking lot to buy drugs. They're going to have the person delivered at their home, or they're going to have some other arrangement. So,
or they're just going to do it in a different neighborhood.
Yeah, when are the cops going to pick them up? Well, it's not going to happen. Yeah. And they're going to be disproportionately white people. So
I do find this slightly irrelevant to the thing at hand, though. Because here's the deal. The situation with the cops is problematic and is leading to unfair arrests. And I think I like it. And we're, again, people getting shot and killed when they were unarmed. Stuff like this. And there's a lot to do with there. And then they get into the legal system, which is a disaster for a completely different set of reasons.
Yeah.
A great deal of which has to do with the defending of public defense. But, and then, from there, they get put in prison, which is horrible in a whole different set of reasons.
Right.
So the cops aren't the reason the prisons are fucked up, I believe. But the cops are fucked up in a way that sends them to the justice system, which is fucked up in a way that sends them to the prison, which are fucked up.
Right. I think the whole thing sort of feeds back onto itself, and it just gets worse.
Yeah, recidivism becomes
And it gets just worse and worse and worse. And but now, all of that said, I've known people who went to jail for something, and usually, this person's problems were related to addiction. They got clean in there, and they came out, and they were better.
Yeah.
That has happened.
That tends to be a self-motivated thing. But we should also, I'm sure there are prisons out there that focus really hard on rehabilitation.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's true.
But as a whole, and in the vast, vast majority, it's a punitive system. It's 100% a punitive system.
Right, and I think But I think our whole...
And an exploited system.
Yeah, I think our whole culture, our shame and guilt-focused culture, is very much... It's sort of contextualize all of that, and one thing sort of feeds back onto the other, and it makes a lot of these other problems that contributes to systematic racism and prejudice against poor people, and it gives police more. Policing is a stressful job, but I think that there are some stresses that police have to deal with that they are kind of artificial, like. Well, for example...
Well, are from their employers, right?
Yeah.
From
like, their experience. Like the militarization of the police. Mm-hmm. How can you be a police officer in Iowa City, let's say, and your superiors are buying SWAT gear and armored vehicles and all this stuff that maybe you've been a police officer for 20 years and never needed this stuff, but they're buying all of this stuff...
Because of the terror.
Well, exactly. How is it not supposed to plant a seed in your mind about, well, maybe they're buying this stuff because we need it. Maybe the world's more dangerous than it was before. And before you know it, you're taking a job that's already difficult, and you're throwing paranoia on top of it and making it even more difficult than it was before. For no other reason except you're buying this equipment that you don't really need. And why are you doing that? Because you've been given money by the government. If you don't spend it, you'll lose it.
Yeah.
It's not because there's any threats. It's not because...
No, although in a lot of cases it's because constituents are telling you, oh my God, it's so fucking scary
out
here.
All of this stuff becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Absolutely.
And it's maddening. But this question, the notion of what do we send people to prison for? Well, or to jail for? What do we arrest them for? I think that's it. I think it's part of the whole messed up cycle that we don't think of we are punishing people when we send them to jail, and also related to this, I think, is our attitude toward mental illness. We don't treat mental illness like a legitimate thing, and when a person engages in criminal behavior, we don't think that, well, maybe they're sick in a way. You know, maybe they need treatment. We just don't think of it like that. We just think they're a bad person, and we have to put them in jail. And there's a certain level of diagnosable mental illness that we also think that about, and those people just go to jail and they don't get treatment. So there's just a lot of things culturally fed into this that just make it a quagmire, really, are the United States justice system, and it's little wonder we have more prisoners per capita than any other country. But
that's what we're good at.
And then we privatize it. See, that's a whole other thing. We could go on and on about this. I could anyway, and I should
you
stop.
Did.
I'm sorry.
I'm tired of questions, so we're going to stop. It's a few minutes early, but we ran a few minutes over last time, so deal with it.
And we answered a lot of questions.
Yeah, we did, because we ran a lot of weird ones. Unfortunately, odds are that's most of the questions that aren't coffee. Not that I don't love coffee's questions, except for the ones that infuriate me. I'm just saying this becomes the
coffee
show.
Questions.
Yeah, no, dude, we'd be out of a job if we didn't. But I'm saying diversification could be nice. And what diversity we have, I think we literally burned just in this episode.
Probably already.
So right into the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with your little notes and things like that. Make them shorter and less crazy than Azure Helen's, please. In general, in life, I advise people to be shorter and less crazy than Azure Helen. Go to the blog and tell us how tall you are and how... less crazy you are.
Good idea.
And listen next week. And
Merry Christmas.
We hope you had a wonderful Merry Christmas. And we'll see you this year.
One more time.
Okay. Yeah. Remember, shorter, less crazy than I should have.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.